Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
All right, Ben, let's start out with the basics. So unlike a lot of other pipeline protests that you and I have both covered over the years, there's a version of this pipeline, Line 3, that's already up and running.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's like we went from Keystone XL, you know, being a pipeline that never got off the drawing board, to here we have Line 3, which is a pipeline that runs 360 miles through the state. Overall, it connects the Western Canadian oil sands region to refineries in the Midwest. So I think it's like 60 years old, and the company behind it, Enbridge, wants to basically replace it. They said the existing pipe is old and decaying, and they want to basically put in a new version of it.
The pipeline is corroding, and historically it has had some serious issues with spills back in the 90s.
Through its course through the state, it goes through like something like 200 waterways. And there was concern that, you know, it ends in the Lake Superior watershed. So if you get a leak of this thing, the fears go, you've basically contaminated a watershed, you know, abutting one of the major freshwater sources in the world.
30 years ago this week, the Line 3 pipeline in northern Minnesota ruptured, spilling 1.7 million gallons of crude oil into a frozen river near Grand Rapids, Minnesota. If the river had not been frozen, the oil could have seeped into the Mississippi River.
We've seen people in the past week or so heading out to Minnesota to go, you know, basically set up camps to protest 24/7.
Since Monday, thousands have come together to protest and stop the construction, and more than 200 people were arrested yesterday after blocking a pump station and setting up camp.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy. After the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline gave environmentalists a long-sought win, many of the same groups are shifting their attention to another controversial transnational pipeline, Line 3. Today, Politico's Ben LaFabe on the tensions around the pipeline and whether the Biden administration can or will stop its construction. It's Wednesday, June 16th.
The environmental groups and tribes in the area are basically saying that there's no need for this pipeline. Oil demand is falling so much that this pipeline's redundant, and also that there was insufficient review of the environmental impacts of the pipeline.
Which is going to become the Line 3 pipeline, and we're here to stop them from welding these pipes together.
That's how far this has kind of gotten into the consciousness of green groups, where, I mean, just wandering through D.C., you'll see like Stop Line 3 poster boards put up on light posts.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, why do you think this has become such a rallying cry for environmentalists and tribal communities?
Part of it is because of the source of the oil. You know, the oil sands has always been pretty high on the target list for environmental groups. They'll say that fossil fuels are bad enough, but oil sands take such a, you know, higher, you know, amount of energy just to get out of the ground that they're inherently more dirty. Also, it's a pipeline that environmental groups see a chance of like to stop it. That if they crush this construction project, the old one will just get so old that, you know, Enbridge will have to shut it down, and therefore you've removed another conduit of you know, oil sands into the U.S.
You know, I think ultimately people are comparing this project to Keystone, and I wonder if you think that's a fair comparison, or is this kind of a different situation?
You know, there's a lot of similarities. It's, you know, another factor that's got to be brought up is, you know, this is, again, like Keystone, a matter between the U.S. government and the Canadian government. This isn't just like a domestic pipeline. This is a cross-border pipeline. So, you know, the administration may feel, well, you know, we put a spike in one of Canada's big plans for its oil you know, industry. But then again, you know, environmental groups will say, well, look, it's still the same oil. If you're going to say that, you know, Keystone XL, you know, would deliver oil that would make climate change worse, why are we, you know, hesitant to do anything about Line 3? Probably the biggest difference is that Line 3 is actually operating and delivering oil to the Midwest, where Keystone XL never really got off the drawing board.
With the caveat that people for the longest time said that the protesters at Keystone had 0% chance of being successful, how good of a chance do you think the environmental advocates and tribal groups have in this case of being successful and stopping this new version of this pipeline from being built?
It's hard to figure out, because I had thought the administration was going to pull the plug on Dakota Access. I mean, in that case, you basically had a court basically opening the door wide open and saying the federal government would be in the right if they stopped the flow of the pipeline, because the Dakota Access environmental impact reviews were faulty. And, you know, now you have a pipeline operating on federal land, on public land, that got there, you know, using insufficient environmental review. And then when the Biden administration failed to act on that, that was like, you know, for a lot of us who had been watching, you know, kind of a shock. So I think to a certain extent, the Biden folks may still be studying up on this. If they're actually of the mind that they want to stop this pipeline, you know, what openings do we have to do so?
On Monday, a Minnesota state court upheld the state's permit for the pipeline, claiming state regulators conducted a fair assessment of the environmental impacts of the project. According to the court, the state's Public Utilities Commission also made a thorough assessment of whether the oil pipeline is needed for energy demand. Still, environmentalists are hoping another court case could stop the pipeline if the Biden administration chooses not to. Also, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is questioning the administration's lofty push for electric vehicles. At a Senate Energy Committee hearing, Manchin questioned Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm over the administration's push to promote the electric vehicle industry, despite what he calls a total dependence on foreign supply chains. Currently, the U.S. produces both electric vehicles and many of the car parts, but the electric supply chain for batteries stretches across the world and is especially reliant on China. In response, Secretary Granholm stressed the administration's proposed infrastructure plan, saying the bill proposes investing to set up a competitive supply chain fully based in the U.S.
We are already behind in the world, and I will be damned if I'm going to let any other country get ahead of us in automation and automotive innovation and technology.
So on the other side of the Capitol Rotunda, Michigan Representative Debbie Dingell said she would not support an infrastructure package that does not include investments in electric vehicles.
You can't just wave a magic wand and say we're going to drive electric vehicles. You got to do three things. They got to be affordable. We have to get the battery that people have confidence in, will have the range, and we have to have the electric vehicle infrastructure so if people are driving, they know there's a place that they can plug it in, and we have to upgrade the power grid.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Ben LaFabe covers the oil industry and energy policy at Politico. Some of the music in today's show came from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.